This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon. Here's the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
I hit it hard, man.
We're going to hit it hard, man. Robert, you ready to go?
I'm ready, Charlie.
Robert, he's got a big Aggie shirt on. He watched him win last night over Oklahoma State here in Houston. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, live from Houston, Texas. We are featuring, as always, our good friend Bill Harmon, who is in Palm Springs. He winters in Palm Springs, you know what I mean? But great teacher, just was elected to the top 50 teachers of all of everywhere. So he's got all the information. We're going to talk about the major championships. We're going to review what happened 2019, but moving forward so you can get ready to place your bets. Who's going to win in 2020? Fair, right? Is Bill on? So Bill's going to join us here in a couple minutes, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about everything that he likes. He's a great football connoisseur. He likes to bet the ponies, so Bill brings a lot to the show. But, you know, I started radio back in 1978, and it was Jimmy DeMeritt who called me, and we started talking golf on the radio, and then it morphed into teaching golf on the radio. Now I've been with Gow Communications, and they're growing their footprint. We've got a whole bunch of things happening at Gow Communications, not only on the airwaves, but also on the internet. So we're keeping up with the Joneses, you know, might say, even though I just celebrated my 75th birthday. I'm trying to stay young, play golf. I played yesterday over at the Great Champions Golf Club. So we're going to talk that. We're going to talk to Bill Harmon right after this. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity. Stay tuned, everybody.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon. Here's the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Good morning, everybody. We're moving into the new year. We're ready to go. Robert's giving me the sign that we're live in Houston. We're joined right now by none other than Bill Harmon from Toscano Golf Club in Palm Desert. Bill, good morning, and how you doing?
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
You know, I'm highly motivated. I've had a great Christmas. I've been very blessed, very lucky. My family's in great shape. I played over at the Champions Golf Club yesterday. Getting ready to announce, it's already been announced, that the 2020 Ladies U.S. Open will be played in June at Champions, the historic golf club that has now hosted everything, a U.S. Open, a Ladies U.S. Open. It's just phenomenal. It's had the Ryder Cup. Jackie Burke says to say hello. He's going to be 97 at the end of the month, Bill, and he's really doing very, very well, and he motivates everybody. So, but you had we talked about our talking points today, and you know, we can look a little in review on what transpired in the majors, but more importantly, where we're going to go in 2020, and of course, the big shocker of the year, in my estimation, was the comeback story of Tiger Woods and him adding to his major count. The Masters victory was something else.
Yeah, and I think that what I saw as the year went on, the tournament that he won in Japan and the President's Cup, he seems unusually comfortable, seems very comfortable with his golf swing. He's driving the ball better. And his demeanor on the course, I think, has changed quite a bit, Charlie. He seems to be moving very slowly, seems very composed, very relaxed. He used to have kind of an energetic focus, I would say, and now he seems to have a very calm focus. He's the best iron player in the world. I don't think there's any question about that. And he's driving the ball better now. He appears to be back to me. He appears to be really, really, really good. He's not a... He's almost 90% of what he used to be to me, and that 90% is going to beat everybody most of the time. So I'm very, very interested to see how he plays. And if his health holds up, I expect him to be in contention almost every time he tees it up.
You know, it was very revealing at the President's Cup here a couple of weeks ago about the whole persona of Tiger Woods. It was interesting. You know, we know him as a player, but now he had the mantra of the coach, of the manager, of organizing details for other people. And he really got into that. And he even showed on when they were behind that he was not worried about the team. He shows that when he plays, but now as a captain, he just said, "Hey, guys, you're good. Don't worry about it. Just go out and play your best." I just thought that was a wonderful view of the new Tiger Woods.
It seemed like he used the word trust a lot that week, that I trust my players. He used the word trust, and I think if you're a player and Tiger Woods tells you that I believe in you, I trust that you're going to go out and play well, I think when the greatest player in the world tells you that can only help you. So he never really acted as though he was overly concerned. I'm sure he was that one day when it looked like they could be down 9-1 and they pulled out some great matches the second day to get it reasonable. But on Sunday, it just seemed like an event that appeared to be a route early on for the internationals all of a sudden looked like a route for the Americans, and the depth of the team seemed to come through on Sunday in the 12 individual matches. They dominated that. So, yeah, I think we're seeing a Tiger Woods, Charlie, as you said. He used to be the lone wolf for many, many years. I believe him being a vice captain of the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup made him realize how much these young players like him, look up to him, admire him. And he seems to have some very close relationships with a lot of the players. So I think it's great for Tiger. It's great for the players. More importantly, great for the game of golf. And for the PGA Tour players, the Tiger's going to be putting more money in their pocket.
Now is the question, 2020, the four majors. We're going to start with, of course, the Masters. It's the first major in April. How do you see that coming down?
Well,
Who's your pick?
I think that John Rahm is going to win the Masters, and I think at some point in 2020, John Rahm will be the number one player in the world. And I think that he will get there probably with his Masters victory. So I'm betting, I'm thinking John Rahm will win the Masters.
All right. Now, my pick is really something different. I believe Tiger's going to repeat.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good pick, I'd say. I'm with you on that, Charlie. You're not going to get me to argue anything about Tiger anymore as long as he's healthy, baby.
You know, and he's got control of his schedule. You know, this year he's not going to go over to Dubai and make the cash. He's going to stay at home. And the thing that I think more than anything that Tiger has is that he's playing for his children. He's playing for their approval. He wants them to really know who their father really is, not what was happening in the past. That's all gone. Those bogeys, you forget about it. But he's the gentleman, and he's moving the needle, like you like to say, and they just got a new television contract. So all those guys on the PGA Tour, it's, you know, we all benefit for Tiger. So Tiger is my pick to repeat. Now because of the Sir, go ahead.
Well, you're taking it to PGA at Harding Park.
Well, that's I'm going to take one out of your book, Xander.
Ah, there you go. There you go, primetime player. I'm going to go with Justin Thomas. I think he's ready to knock on the door also to be the number one player of the year. So I'm picking Justin Thomas to up in that heavy air of San Francisco in May. His length and his iron play off those nice fairways are going to propel him to victory there, Charlie.
Yeah, that Harding Park is an interesting golf course. Not only where it's designed and it's overlooking, the city of San Francisco, but the weather is going to, you know, that fog is going to come in. You know, the coldest winter I spent was the summer I spent in San Francisco. You know,
I love that line.
Yeah, that's very apparent. That
then we go to my stomping grounds, Wingfoot.
How about that? Tell me about Walters.
Yeah, the hot dog place, greatest hot dogs in the world. Been there since the 1920s, I think. But hot dog ain't going to win the U.S. Open of Wingfoot. I got news for you. So I'm going to go a little bit out of the box here. And I'm going to think that this guy is going to tap in, even though he doesn't coach him anymore, he's going to tap into some inside knowledge from his former coach, Butch Harmon. And I think Ricky Fowler is going to win his first major championship at Wingfoot this year. I think the course sets up beautifully for him. You've got to curve the ball off the tee. You got to be a good iron player. You got to be a great bunker player and a good putter. I think it's going to be Ricky Fowler's major championship at Wingfoot.
I hope you're right. He's a great kid. He's you know, done everything right on the and off the golf course. That's not a bad pick, but I'm going to go with a little different twist on this. The present Open Championship, Shane Lowry, just really distinguished himself, and he had a couple shot lead in the U.S. Open a couple years ago, and
that's right, at Oakmont.
At Oakmont, and I think he's proven that he can handle the pressure. I mean, after the pressure of winning in your own state, your own country, for the Europe, I would not only like him, but I think he can do it.
That's a man of the box pick. I like that, Charlie.
I'm going to go with Shane.
What do you got for the Open Championship?
That's the good question. The Open Championship this year is going to be played at Royal St. George, which is in southern England. It's a good golf course. They've had some, Greg Norman won there. Darren Clark won there. Ernie Els, I believe he won over.
Well, who's your pick? Damn it!
Damn it! Rory.
Yeah, there you go, boy. I can see that. We haven't thought about him much in this conversation. I'm going with the best iron player on the planet. I'm going with Tiger Woods.
Keep navigate
the wind and the link style course, and he's going to just pepper those flags in the middle of those greens, and he's going to wear them out.
All right. Well, keep that thought. We're going to break. We got to pay a few bills here at Gow Communication and the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity. Hang tight. Robert's going to get us back here in a couple minutes. Stay tuned, everybody.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon. Here's the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Yes, this is Charlie Epps, and we're brought to you by Insperity, a company that was established in 1986 by Paul Sarvadi and a couple of his business partners. And it has grown in just a short time to a $3.5 billion company. It has 3,500 employees, and Paul Sarvadi, the chairman, and just published a book and his secrets to success. You can go online, Forbes Books, taking care of your people. Taking care of your people is a success that Paul Sarvadi had. His mantra is, what can I do for my employees? You know, regardless of your business, you know, philosophy and what kind of company you create is going to be determined by your human capital strategy. That is Paul Sarvadi. Insperity, eventual success was all about having the right people and knowing how to treat them. So if you have a nice small business, 2020, you want to grow it, you want to get it moving just a little and you need some help, well, Insperity, they specialize in helping. That's what we want, help. That's going to get you to the next level. And Insperity is the company to call. Log on to Insperity.com. Tell them Charlie and Bill sent you. But it's all about how you treat your people, Bill. And Mr. Sarvadi is quite a man to accomplish in his life. He's only got like 50 grandchildren. How about that?
Well, that's why I treat you so well on this show, Charlie.
That's right. That's right. So, all right. Now we just picked our 2020 picks for the U.S. For the major championships. Now I'm going to ask your opinion. I got a couple questions for you. But now that you know you've been honored, you're a top 50 teacher. You've been around the best teachers in the world. Your father was just an incredible teacher, player. I can go on and on. But now you pick John Rahm. Why? For the Masters.
Well, I think it seems like the last two or three months, Charlie, he's contended or won tournaments. He's in the top five constantly. He is a natural drawer of the ball. He's very long. Wonderful iron player, and I think he plays to win. And I think that's really important in major tournaments nowadays with the caliber of play, that I think the guys that truly, truly play to win have such an advantage. Now, the only thing that his drawback might be is that he's pretty emotional and he can get pretty fired up, but then again, so did Seve, so did Eliza Ball. So did Sergio, and they all won Masters championships. So I just think the course sets up for him. I think he's a flag seeker when he wants to be, and there's just something about him. It just seems like every time he tees it up now, Charlie, he's in contention. He's got his own swing. It's short, compact, and you know this, but the golfing public wouldn't know it. When you see him in person, he's a very big kid.
He reminds me of Nicklaus. He reminds me of a young Nicklaus.
Yes, he is. He's got a big fanny, big thighs. He's a big, strong kid. And I don't think that comes across on TV as much as when you see him in person. So I just think he's coming into his own and he plays to win. And I remember before he turned pro, Mickelson said he played a lot with him up at the course in Scottsdale there, and he said before he turned pro, the guy was beating him almost every time in big money matches. So he seems to have that inner stuff of wanting to win.
Well, you know, and here's a kid that came from a foreign land, came from Spain, came to our United States, did not know English, but all he knew how was to hit a golf ball, and he settled, you know, at Arizona State. And he really developed into quite a player. I mean, he went right on to the tour. So, I like his swing, and it's less is more. His short backswing is a whipping the club through the hitting area, and all the speed is out in front of the ball instead of behind the ball. So, I like your pick, and I like him. I like that he plays with a chip on his shoulder. So, okay, that's the Masters. I mean, I picked Tiger for all the reasons. I mean, he's already won five Masters, and he can get
how
it done.
I don't know how you could pick against him, to be honest with you. If he's playing the way he's playing now, Charlie, you've been watching the game a long time. This guy's iron play is really something to watch. You know, our listeners don't realize the ability to hit a ball pin high is really what separates golfers, in my opinion. And his distance control is second to none from what I can see. I just think he's in control of everything, and if he is, then these young guys that said they wanted a piece of him, they're going to get him.
You know, and my
man... They wanted a piece of the injured Tiger. They didn't want the healthy Tiger.
Right. My man, Ángel Cabrera, you know, he won the Masters in 2009, and his that week, his control of distance was just phenomenal. And he always, you know, he took very little divot, you know, just nips the ball off the fairway, and that's what Tiger does. He and just kind of like Annika Sorenstam, to me, she's one of the best I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Hit an iron. So it's going to be fun. But moving forward to, you know, here again, you were born in New York, were you not?
Yes, I was. I was born in New Rochelle, about 10 minutes from Wingfoot.
So, but no, you know, it's not too often that we have two majors in the same city. Although the city's about 25 million, but at Bethpage, your pick was Justin Thomas. Tell me about his golf swing, and which was natured by his dad, a PGA golf pro.
Actually, the PJ is in San Francisco.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bethpage. I'm sorry.
It was at Bethpage last week.
Last week. I apologize.
Well, I think Justin Thomas is another one of these guys, Charlie, that when I watch him, he plays to win. And I remember when he first turned pro, he was in the last group of the, I'll call it the Bob Hope Classic out here in the desert. It's changed names so many times, I don't know what it is anymore.
Right.
But he was in the last group with Bill Haas, and he was tied with three holes of play, and Bill made a couple birdies and won. And they asked Justin Thomas after the round. Now, here he is, a rookie. I think he finished second or third, made a big old paycheck. They said, what'd you learn today? And he said, I learned that if you're tied for the lead in a tour event with three holes of play, don't play the last three holes of one over par if you want to win. And I said, ooh, boy, this guy, he was thinking about winning. He didn't say it was a great experience, and I learned a lot. He basically said it was my tournament to win, and if you want to win them, don't make bogeys, you know. And so right away I got thinking that he probably thought a little bit differently. I like the way he plays under the gun and putts. He's a very decisive putter when the pressure is on. He doesn't take a practice stroke. He seems to get a thought in his mind, and he goes with it. Charlie, you know a lot about that with all the time you've spent with Bob Rotella. And so I think when he's under a lot of pressure, he makes good, quick decisions, and then he gets on with it. I kind of like that. He doesn't seem to get out of his routine or start doing something different. He's decisive. He's got a little bit of Watson's decisiveness, which I like.
When he won his
long and all the other stuff.
Yeah, when he won his PGA at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina, he proved a lot to me. Coming down the stretch that they call it the Green Mile, and
his strike show.
You know, the 7-iron he hit into the par 3, very intimidating.
17 was an unbelievable shot.
Yeah, so
I could not hit that shot if you were fear based.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I picked your man, Xander Schauffele.
Shoffley, yeah.
Because then we're going to break for another commercial, and we'll be back, and I'm going to fill you in on why I like him so much.
Is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon, here's the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Yes, sir. We are here and live in Houston, where the weather has just been phenomenal. Yesterday we played golf out of Champions. It was 72 degrees, 73 degrees. Played with Steve Elkington, Bill, and you know, it's just really a shame that he never got really into the Champions Tour. But yesterday we had a match. It was a fun thing. It's their annual Rhubarb. It's one part of the locker room, south part of the locker room versus the north. We had great competition. But in watching Elkington's golf swing, how he uses the club is really quite interesting. And what I mean by that is that he sets the club up to hit just kind of a, like a soft draw, and the ball never leaves the direction he's aiming, and it's really fun to watch.
Well, he's a former major champion, a great ball striker, a technician, has studied the swing quite a bit. I think got very intrigued with his swing first with Mac O'Grady, has taken a lot of stack and tilt stuff he's got. Was a great, great ball striker. He was not a gifted putter, Charlie. And we talked about that when he turned 50, because you mentioned you thought he'd win a lot of tournaments.
Right.
I felt that the scores that these guys shoot out there, you know, 20, 22, 23, 24 under in three-round tournaments, boy, you got to putt good to do that. You can't hit it good enough to do that. And, you know, and Angel has played out there a few tournaments, and I'm sure he's been a little surprised at how low the scores are. So it's one thing to be a great ball striker, and that's what Steve is. There's no question about it. But putting is such a big part of the game nowadays. Because, so it was all the great instruction. We talked about that a little bit earlier in another segment. You know, so many guys now hit the ball beautifully. And so the equalizer or the separator, excuse me, will have to be, can you putt? You know, and if you don't make, you know, those putts from 8 to 15 feet, you're really going to get this run by, I think, in professional golf. And it's no different on the Champions Tour. These guys are marvelous ball strikers, and the guys that know how to putt really are the ones that eventually are going to pick up that winner's chip.
The kid that has you know, got my attention, mainly because of you, because you really like him, Xander. You know, I picked him for the PGA because he doesn't hit too many bad shots, Bill. I mean, his swing is pretty simple. Taught to him by his father, you know, kind of Jim Furyk, his father taught him. So that, to me, just summarize his golf swing for me.
Well, you know, I'm on the Callaway staff, and so is he. And last year when I went down to get fitted for a set of clubs, I asked the guy fitting me, you know, do they do a lot of research on the player swings that they have? And he said, very much. And I said, who has the least amount of face rotation? For our listeners there, that's the club face.
Yes.
Closing or opening, going through the ball. Want the club face to stay square to the arc. And they said, hands down, Shoffley had the best control of the club face of any of the Callaway players. So that's a pretty good indication of a good player. You know, over the years, we've all marveled at Jim Furyk's swing.
Yep.
But Jim Furyk had the least amount of face rotation of all the players on tour. But all we saw was, you know, he took it outside and he had a lot of knee action and all this. But as you said about Steve, his club face control was second to none.
Yes, it is.
And so if you can keep that club face stable, chances are you're going to be a better player day in and day out, and that's Xander, what Xander does. But as you also know, Charlie, as someone who's taught major champions, he's got a great presence on the golf course. He doesn't look like he's afraid of anything. He kind of walks with a little bit of a gait that I can do this. And I like everything about Xander's game. I think you could be onto something that he's about to win his first major also, because he doesn't back off under the gun.
Now we're going to move U.S. Open, Wingfoot. Last year, Gary Woodland won it at Pebble Beach in a fashion that I still think about that three wood he hit into, was it 14?
14, yep.
I mean, that to me was just, he just was feeling it there. That's a shot that most people aren't going to try. I mean, because there's a lot more bad things can happen than good things.
Yeah, but, actually, at the time, I thought it was a stupid shot, to be honest with you.
Until it
I didn't know what the heck he was doing. But yeah. That, like you said, that shows you how much confidence he had in his game. Yeah. But the pitch shot on 17 off the green might have been the greatest pitch shot in the history of the game.
That was really something else. And
well, you talk about nothing good going to happen, boy. That was he could have sculled that thing in the ocean. He could have chunked it right in front of him, and he hit the most beautiful golf shot. I thought it was the shot of the year to me as far as degree of difficulty. It was 9.9 degree of difficulty under the most intense pressure, and what a shot. He won that tournament. I was talking to somebody about it yesterday. Brooks Koepka did not lose that tournament. Gary Woodland won that tournament.
There's no doubt about that. He played the back nine without fear, and he did what he wanted to do, and so my hat's off. But now you've picked Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they set Wingfoot up. I know that last time I was there, they had already narrowed the fairways to 28 yards, which is quite narrow. Wingfoot has a lot of length, but length doesn't make any difference to these players nowadays, except on some of the par threes. So I think Wingfoot will be a tremendous test if the rough is high. And in June, you know, Charlie, in many cases, the greens aren't great in June on the East Coast. So maybe the putting surfaces won't be perfect for these guys. But I'm still, without seeing the course and how it's going to be set up, I think somebody will probably shoot a couple under and win that tournament. But it's going to be a complete player. It's not going to be a guy who's sowing the ball all over the course off the tee. It's going to take a lot of golf course management. Charlie, you've played Wingfoot many times, and I know all the nuances of the course. And, you know, they have about nine of the greens here, what we call parachute greens, where they're narrow in front and they expand towards the back of the green. So if the pin's in the front, you have to make a decision. If you're going to shoot at the flag, it's the narrowest part of the green. Then if you want to take enough club to carry over the bunkers, now you're going to have a long downhill putt. So there's going to be a lot of golf course management going on. Going to have to be a great iron player, great bunker player. And I think I just have a feeling about Ricky that it's about time for him to step up to the plate. And I think Wingfoot's going to be the place that he does it. But your pick is also very interesting.
Well, the other thing that our audience should know, and in the history of the Harmons, your dad was the head professional there for many, many years. And in 1959, the U.S. Open was held there. And tell me how your dad finished that year in 59.
Well, he was, I believe, 43 years old with six kids. And he was the host pro, and he ended up finishing third, lost by two shots. Billy Casper won the tournament. Bob Rosberg was second. And my dad and Mike Suchak finished two shots out of the lead. So, my great memory of the event, of course, I was only 9 years old, but he played the last round with Ben Hogan. And so my dad shot 70 the last round, and Mr. Hogan shot 76. And I've often thought about how many club pros could have teed off with Ben Hogan the last round of the U.S. Open, or how many club pros could tee off with Tiger Woods the last round of the U.S. Open and beat him by six shots, you know. So there's so many interesting things about my dad's career, and one of them was he was just a marvelous player for someone who never played the tour. He had five top threes in majors. There's a lot of good players on the tour right now that haven't had top five threes in majors, I can guarantee it.
And he was an expert chef with steaks with Hogan, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, Hogan didn't like him touching his food, so dad always wanted to needle him a little bit and start flopping those steaks around on the grill, and Hogan would reprimand him for touching his food, and he would do it quite succinctly, I might add.
Now, it was
there
true
was no
that
question on that he didn't want him cooking his steak, that's for sure.
He liked his steak Chicago style, where you just kind of throw it on the fire?
Ben didn't like anybody messing with his food, and so Dad knew that, so Dad used to like to needle him about it. Dad liked them, I think, called Pittsburgh style, kind of charred on the outside and pink in the middle.
Right.
I don't recall how Hogan liked it. I just know that he didn't want it, Dad cooking it for him at the grill at our house there in New Rochelle.
Well, the last winner at the Open Championship was really quite something. Shane Lowry winning in his hometown, his home country. That really provided a lot of you know, what a story. I mean, to me, that was the tournament of the year, to have him withstand that pressure and to be able to shoot, 63 on Saturday?
Yeah, and I think those are stories that if somebody wrote that story, you wouldn't believe it. You know, now if you wrote it that Rory McIlroy won there, you know, you would have said, okay, I can see that. But for Shane Lowry to win and to win the way he did, and he played so beautifully on Sunday after the great round on Saturday, sometimes sports, I was just watching something about the New York Giants beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl when they were 18-0, and Michael Strahan said that if you gave that script to a Hollywood writer, they would have dismissed it because they said it's just too far-fetched, that thing. But in sports, those things happen, and I think it's one of the great things about theater and sports. You never, ever know what's going to happen once the ball goes up or the ball goes on the tee or the kickoff or the basketball or baseball, and I think it's what keeps us involved. You know, this weekend we've got the Final Four in football. Who knows who's going to win those games? You know, everybody's assuming that Oklahoma won't win, but we don't know that. You know,
we sure don't.
We're going to tune in and watch.
That's
what happens.
That's why they play the game. Going to the Open, to Royal St. George, if we talk a little about Rory's year, 2019.
Very good.
He really played a lot of good golf, didn't he?
He really did. I mean, he was an absolute surprise to be Player of the Year over Koepka. But having said that, Rory was in contention almost every week. He seemed to be a little bit calmer about things. He seems to have learned some things about his own effort level. Rory is a thoroughbred. He might be the most gifted player on the planet. It's possible that he has more physical gifts than other players. He's grown up now. He's mature. I'd be very surprised to not see him continue his fine play. And he would be probably my second pick at Augusta, but I can certainly see him winning any tournament he plays in. And I think he's a terrific pick for the Open at Royal St. George's.
All right, we're going to break one more time. I got the high sign from a man behind the glass over there, Robert. He's still smiling from that Aggie victory. So we're going to break, come back. We'll sum this all up for 2019. And, man, we're going to 2020. Stay tuned, everybody.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon, here's the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Okay, Bill, we just got a couple of minutes of the show left for 2019. I just want to thank you so much for all the wisdom that you shared over these 52 weeks. Doing the show with you is so much fun, even though you pick
thank
on
you,
me.
Charlie.
You pick on me a little, but give me.
Yeah,
a,
you pick on me too, though. You're good at it.
Give me a closing remark.
Well, I'm looking forward to 2020. I believe that the game of golf is in great hands. The young players are playing fantastic. A lot of wonderful people out there. I think we're going to see an influx of a lot of the young players coming from the Korn Ferry Tour. A lot of names that we haven't heard of are going to turn into multiple tournament winners. And I think I'm looking forward to a very highly competitive 2020 golf season on the tour.
Well, I just want to close. In 2019 was a challenge for me medically. We had a heart operation. We had a foot operation. We had just a bunch of great doctors, and I just can't thank them enough. I've come out on the correct side. I'm healthy. I look forward to 2020, talking golf with Bill, playing golf with my grandsons. Anyways, it's going to be a great year, 2020. I want to go to the Masters this year, Bill. Are you going?
I'm not. No, I'm not going to make it this year.
Okay, well, I'm sure you're busy. You're running your charity, and I wish you and Robin all the success with that. And, you know, life is too short to worry about, you know, things. We just got to get out there and do our best. And that's why Paul Sarvadi is so spot on and taking care of people. If we take care of each other, the world's going to be better, Bill. And
I agree with you, Charlie.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Talk to you next week, Bill. Robert, thanks a million. And God bless everybody. And this is Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. Bye-bye, everybody.